Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper, along here with Giants insider Alex Pavlovich, and we talk Giants baseball with you every Monday and Thursday right here on the NBC Sports Podcast Network. As you're well aware of by this point in the season, Giants Talk is brought to you by Wendy's. Raise a glass to Wendy's new bourbon bacon cheeseburger. Smothered in the new bourbon bacon sauce, this is a bourbon masterpiece that you eat. Available at participating U.S. Wendy's. Ooh, I got through that one this time.
You killed that one. I think Grant Liffman called us out and said he's been killing the Wendy's read. So you showed a lot of improvement there from last week.
I've been tuning in to Dubs Talk, obviously because it's a fantastic podcast and the Warriors are crushing it right now, but also to hear how they do the reads because I'm fascinated. Grant is a consummate professional and way better at this than I am.
Yeah, well, Grant started as an actor, so he has a leg up on all of us.
That's true. That's not a face for podcasting, if you ask me. Giants sweep the Rangers, go 4-1 on the homestand. We're feeling pretty good right now in the NL West.
Yeah, it's I'll let you sweep there for two games. I call it a mini sweep always. These two-game series are so weird, and it's yeah. Just like, especially when they go night game, day game, like those guys were in town for like 24 hours, it felt like. But another, you know, really solid couple games for them. I think they played good baseball. I don't think the Rangers played very well when they were here. They've kind of been around 500 for most of the year, but they were a little bit of a mess defensively and made some weird decisions, I thought. And they've been a pretty good hitting team. Giants have pitched all year, and we saw it again. They pitched pretty well against them.
Not just the starters. I mean, the Giants bullpen gave up zero runs over the entire series, which, as you said, it's a two-game series, so maybe not that big of an accomplishment. But I know that's a aspect of the game that Giants fans have been very concerned about. So bullpen was great. Starters were great. Plus, I had pre and post was pretty great. Did you see Hunter Pence on there?
Yeah, I think you and I, we talked after we talked to Hunter on this podcast last week, and I thought he was fantastic. And I'm not just saying that because it's our podcast. Like he was a lot of fun and just really into it. And I thought he was great on pre and post. And again, not just saying that because I'm also on pre and post. Like it was really fun to see him and Papa. It seemed like they just clicked, like they'd been doing this for 20 years. And you know, the one thing you knew was Hunter was going to have a lot of fun and was going to be smiling and was going to be a little bit crazy and a little bit out there. But he knows baseball. He's really been into baseball. He played 14 years in the big leagues, I think. He's been part of this for two decades and really, I think, dug into it the last couple of years as he was trying to extend his career and dug into some of the new stuff that people are doing with their bodies and with stats. And we heard a little bit of that on the podcast, but I think that came out on the pregame show too. Like he's a baseball junkie. He's watching a lot of baseball and enjoying it. And so that to me was really cool to see.
Yeah, definitely one of those guys that isn't just baseball talented, but seems to be at this point in his career an expert in all things baseball. And he was fascinating. I think more than anything, though, I just love his energy. Obviously, yeah. He was the same way on our podcast. He's so infectiously happy and energetic and upbeat. Makes for great television.
He was drinking coffee the whole time we were podcasting. And I was like, I like couldn't even get on your level to begin with. And now you're taking espresso shots after 5 minutes. Like we have no chance.
No chance. And he went 2-0. So Hunter Pence undefeated at the desk. If we have some series towards the end of the season where we need absolute wins, they should consider bringing him back in as a good luck charm.
He should do all Dodger games.
Yeah, there we go. Let's make that happen. Speaking of Dodgers, another guy who stood out this series was former Giant, former Dodger, Charlie Culbertson, whose two errors gave the Giants three of the seven runs they scored this series. I don't mean that as a knock against Charlie or a knock against the Giants offense. I just thought that was kind of interesting, though. Main thing I remember him for is being the guy who like made those making fun of Bumgarner shirts when they were with the Dodgers, the don't look at me Puig shirts.
Did he make those?
He made them or he was the one who like snuck into the Giants locker room and dropped one off in Bumgarner's locker. I remember being salty towards him because of that.
Yeah, he could get away with it because he's really close with Crawford and Belt and a lot of the guys who who came up at the same time as he did. So it was weird to see him be their starting third baseman for a couple of days. I'm so used to seeing him come off the bench in the seventh inning for the Dodgers or the Braves. Are we still doing like the secret agent thing? So his secret agent, Charlie Culberson, yeah, for 2 days.
Exactly.
It was helpful.
Exactly. Secret agent Culberson, 00, whatever his number is. Oh, that would have worked really well if I had his number off the top of my head. Sorry,
00E5, I think.
There we go.
You know, I think seeing him and seeing that whole team, it was just an interesting series to watch because we don't know them very well, and we don't know really their coaches or their style of play. That's why Interleague, I always enjoy those series. And I always try to work those series, actually, because you learn new things. And one thing that stood out to me, and I don't know if you noticed this really, but being there in the press box, and Carey Crowley and I always kind of look at each other like incredulously when we see something happen and we're like, what? Like, what is that other team doing? And there was a little bit of that for two games, and especially Monday night, they had a lefty on the mound. And it kind of became like kind of a, not famous, but a good moment for Gabe Kapler. He used three straight right-handed hitters, and he had one of his line changes, and it really worked. Dubon was the third guy, got a RBI single, brought the go-ahead run home. The Giants score twice that inning. They win that game. And then the next day, you see them bring in this righty, who I think was from Santa Cruz, who was just filthy. And I'm sitting there on Tuesday watching that game and thinking, like, where was this guy in the seventh inning on Monday night? And Carey and I were looking at each other on Monday, going like, where is the right-handed reliever here? Because the Giants only had a right-handed bench. They used Dubon. It was just a really weird move, and it's something I want to track going forward. I think we're starting to see, like, Gabe and his staff get the better of other staffs a little bit. And I think they really did on Monday night. They got the better of the Rangers staff and Chris Woodward and somebody he knows from his time with the Dodgers. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit. Like, when Jace Tingler and the Padres were here, there was – some moves that I raised an eyebrow at. So just something I want to watch going forward, because, you know, we haven't really talked a whole lot about his in-game managing, and because there's been so much other stuff from the time he got hired. I mean, his first press conference, and then the pandemic, and then all the kneeling stuff last year obviously was a big deal. And, you know, this year we've talked about the bullpen a little bit. I don't know that we've talked enough about the in-game managing. And so just something that stood out during those two games for me and wanted to make note of. And definitely something to watch, especially when the Dodgers come into town. Like, those are going to be intense. Those are going to be back and forth. A lot of pinch hitters, a lot of relief pitchers. Like, I think the Giants are starting to figure it out a little bit in terms of the decisions they're making from the top step.
It's been interesting from the fan perspective, just seeing how different Bochy Ball and Gaber Metrics are, the two different management styles.
I'm stealing Gaber Metrics, but yes.
Take it. My gift to you. But it does seem like Kapler's like become the pitch hitter whisperer. You know, the right moves are being made in the right spots, and where maybe that wasn't happening last year, as far as we could see, it feels like now looking back, you can see kind of what was growing, what was budding, and how he was kind of feeling out what worked and what didn't work. And all of a sudden it's firing on all cylinders. So I 100% agree. I am starting to become impressed by Gabe. I've been very pro Kapler for a year and a half now. But a lot of that's been because he seems like such a cool dude. He's such a fun interview. He's really interesting, but you know, I can say his on the field stuff is definitely warming up to me, and the fans are turning as well. I pulled this quote. I wanted to shout out, for those who don't know, the band Smash Mouth is made up of Giants fans.
Oh,
and they,
I hear from them all the time.
Smash Mouth's in your mentions. Well, they might mention you after this shout out. In November of 2019, Smash Mouth called the Kapler hire horrible, all caps, hire. And just this weekend, May 12th, 2021, they got a, we really like Gabe Kapler out. So that's the turnaround. Somebody once told them the world was going to roll them.
That was a big moment. That was, you got Smash Mouth. That's like,
yeah.
I don't know. They were pretty anti-Farhan too, I believe. So if I'm remembering correctly. So I wonder if we can find a similar thing there with the roster. But yeah, when you get Smash Mouth, you've done a pretty good job over here. Yeah, it's just something. Here's what I will tell people who listen to this podcast to watch, because I've become so accustomed to seeing the Giants get the platoon advantage. And a left-handed reliever comes in, and all of a sudden the Giants have Darren Ruff ready. Or a right-hander comes in and all of a sudden, hey, Alex Dickerson's coming off the bench, or Steven Duggar's coming off the bench, or, you know, Brandon Crawford was in a starting lineup. Now, look, he's coming off the bench and he's going to play defense the final three innings. And it's just kind of become really glaring to me when we watch other teams, like how often they don't do that. And so I guess that would be your Gabermetrics. Like, that's what I would watch in some of these, and on this road trip a little bit too. And David Bell is a pretty smart guy, so I'm curious to see how the Reds handle that for four games. But just something to watch, like how often you look at the other team and be like, shouldn't this be a spot for a pinch hitter? Because this is what we've gotten used to here, and we're not seeing that really.
I agree. I haven't been following what the other managers have been doing up until this point. As a fan, especially when I'm at the game, I'm much more focused on what the Giants are doing and how my beer tastes. But I'm gonna have to tighten that up and kind of expand my viewing horizons to kind of peak strategy of what the other team should have been doing and what Gabe might have been doing.
Can I interject here? Because I had this on my list.
Oh, yes.
You mentioned on Sunday when we taped an intro for Hunter's interview that you had gone to the game on Sunday. And I did not go to the game on Sunday, but you went there. The Giants got blown out. That might be your fault. We'll see what happens as you go to the ballpark more often. But I really wanted to ask you, because I went back and looked at your Instagram account, and you had chicken strips and garlic fries, I believe. It's been a while. It's been about 6 weeks since we've updated people on the ballpark experience. What was your experience? Because I have some updated thoughts.
Dude, I'm going to be honest. I think the nostalgia for a full season of not getting to go to games in person is really carrying a lot of the load here for the stadium concessions. My hot dog wasn't great. You know, the condiment situation's a little weird. You can't just pump your ketchup out of the one of the big things. You get like one packet.
Yeah, you get one packet of ketchup.
Yeah. Or same with the mustard. I don't know. My garlic fries and chicken fingers are pretty good. It does seem like they've tweaked the recipe, which I find weird. The garlic fries almost seemed like twice fried with some nice crunchy bits on the outside, which I'm not going to complain about because that's great. But the chicken strips were a little different. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's because they don't have the kitchens at full staff or something and they're cutting some corners, but I have not been thrilled with my stadium food so far this year.
Okay,
this and I apologize to all the Giants staff members and Larry and anyone else that's listening right now.
But this is why I had to ask you, because I also believe that they've changed the chicken tenders since the first stand. So, and I'm going to be honest, I probably had them like six times already through however many home games there have been, but I feel like they changed something and I need somebody to let me know if they actually did change something. Cause I agree with you. I think there's a little bit of like, yeah, everybody's happy to be back at the ballpark. We're having a good time. I feel like some of the food changed, and I've heard that from some people who have gone to games as well, that they're a little disappointed. So I was curious to see, you're a big Coles lunch guy. Curious to see what your lunch was there. And
I mean, I will say the garlic fries and chicken fingers were very photogenic. So I got my likes out of them, which, you know, Alex, that's more important than the actual taste of the food.
I mean, it looked great in your photo. I think I had them the very next night when the Rangers came in, and I just was like, something changed. I don't know what it, it almost feels like the chicken. Are you a chicken finger or chicken tender? I think I go back and forth.
What do I prefer to say? Or yeah. Okay, I thought you were saying those are two different things, and I was like, oh man,
no,
that's,
I just
that's not knowledge I have.
Literally every time.
I like to go tendies.
Okay. We'll be a tenders pod. It almost feels like the chicken tenders are like microwaved. Almost. I don't think they are. But anyway, I have higher hopes. The Dodgers are coming into town in the next homestand. Would love to see some more things open up. Would love to see the chicken
Cha-cha
tenders
bowls
take a step up a little bit. Would love to see more than one packet of ketchup. When, if you're giving me chicken tenders and garlic fries and you expect me to get through that with, it is two packets, I believe, but still two tiny packets of ketchup. It's not ideal. So anyway, it is a ton of fun being at the ballpark. And I think the crowds really started to get into it over the last homestand. They had about 10,000 at least three or four times. So it's getting there, but the food situation we will be watching all summer.
Yes. Yes. And like you, I'm ready for some of these other places at the ballpark to reopen. I want my crab sandwich. I want my cha-cha bowl. I want my tri-tip. I'm ready to get after it and drop like an entire month's paycheck on stadium food over one series.
We're two guys sitting here saying we are ready to pay $19.50 for a crab sandwich.
So exactly. Exactly.
Just let us do it.
I want to update you guys a little bit on Giants playoff odds. It looks like the Giants are like a 1 in 4 chance at this point to make the playoffs.
What were they at the beginning of the year? Like 5%?
Yeah.
So
they're
inching their way up the standings. They're still well behind the Dodgers and Padres. But the one that caught my eye, 2.3% to win the NL West. It was basically like zero a month ago. Mm-hmm. So they're making steady progress in the projected standings.
What do you think the highest that's going to get before the All-Star break is? 30% chance to make the playoffs?
Well,
33.
So this is kind of a nice road trip coming up, and we'll get to this in a second. But Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, 8 games. Can you go 6-2? If you go 6-2 and you get past the 40 game mark with that record, I think you probably are above 30%.
Yeah, I mean, just think if this was a 2020 situation, we're at like the 2/3 way through the season right now, 60 games.
I'd be telling them to like start the playoffs already. Buster's
in the count.
Gausman is Cy Young. No, Jacob DeGrom is Cy Young. But it's over.
It's over. Let's look ahead to that series a little bit. We're heading to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. By we, I don't mean you and I are going. Alex, I've been scolded on social media this week for using the word we to describe the Giants. So I'm going out of my way now to stop doing that. So feel free to call me out.
You don't play second base for the Giants?
I don't. They would have to get very desperate to resort to me being on the field. I was the worst player on my T-ball team. I can only imagine how much those skills have atrophied.
Were you really? That must have been rough for Dwayne Kuiper.
Dude, it was. He would never admit it. One of these weeks we'll get into it. He would never admit it, but man, he was probably so disappointed at how terrible I was at baseball.
The good thing is that usually, at least when I played and I coached a little bit too, usually like the worst players play like right field and second base. So at least if they put you at second base, you could be like, Dad, I'm just trying to impersonate you. So not in skill level, but just I'm trying to be at your position. So this has nothing to do with the fact that I don't have a hit.
Exactly. I was definitely like that right fielder who was sitting down because no balls ever came to the outfield.
Well, we have your dad coming up. We will not ask him about your Little League career. But I do want to ask him about this road trip. This is one I'll tell him this. I would have skipped anyway, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, even under normal circumstances. Not two of my – Pittsburgh, the ballpark's beautiful. I think the ballpark is, like, right up there with Oracle Park, actually. But
same architects, right?
It looks like it is.
I believe so.
Absolutely beautiful. If people live on the East Coast and you have a chance to go there, I just know there's going to be a ton of rain, and Cincinnati, St. Louis are like my two least favorite places to go in the National League. So, but that's this trip. And I wanted to bring this up because I think our theme for the next 4 days is the Giants are facing kind of the Giants, like the Giants East. It used to be Tampa Bay. I don't know that people necessarily know this. Do you know how many former Giants are on the Pittsburgh Pirates? I'll say active.
I almost just made a really stupid guess. And said McCutcheon, and I know he's not a Pirate anymore. Let's go two.
They have 5 on their active roster.
No.
I think, or 4. I think Kyle Crick just went on the IL. But Brian Reynolds, who has been really good, 864 OPS, second in the National League in doubles. If he has a big series, it's going to be sad because we all know how that happened and know what happened there and know that he probably should be playing center field or right field for the Giants right now if they had – jumped ahead of this rebuild a little bit. But Tyler Anderson was the one who stood out to me because we talk so much about these one-year deal guys. And the Giants were, like, technically right about Tyler Anderson. They were just a year ahead of it there. He has a 3.05 ERA for them in 7 starts. The Giants are going to see him. Crick's been awesome before he got hurt. 1 hit in 11 innings. Trevor Cahill has struggled in the rotation. And then Chris Stratton is in their bullpen. So – somebody will probably correct me and tell me like this has all changed in the last 3 days and there's only like 2 active former Giants, but this is a team with like a lot of former Giants that we're going to see, a lot of old friends, which I always enjoy.
Yeah, I look forward to that too. And I don't think any of those five you've shouted out are guys that I'm like, oh boy, I really can't root against Brian Reynolds. You know, like I'm dreading having to boo Trevor Cahill. So I don't think the fans are going to get too like riled up about this being five Giants. I think they'd rather see one Pablo Sandoval, but that is still fascinating that all of those guys are, I say all loosely there, several of those guys are thriving right now. It does make you think, what if?
It is. Brian Reynolds is the one. That's the one that got away in that McCutchen trade, and that one has hurt for a couple years now. But that'll be I don't really pay much attention to the Pirates other than the old friends who are there. So that'll be something to watch. And then, you know, they're not very good. So a chance for the Giants, who haven't been great on the road, to make up some ground. And Cincinnati's a tough place to play. I'm really curious to see what the numbers look like after the next – 8 games, because Cincinnati especially is a great place for some Giants hitters to get healthy and a rough place for some Giants pitchers to go and try to protect their ERAs.
Forget Alex, I was born in Ohio, so you get too mean about Cincinnati, I might take it personally.
I will refrain from all my Cincinnati jokes until Sunday night. We will be back on Sunday to recap this Pirates series. But first, Dwayne Kuiper coming up. We talk to him every Thursday. And we'll have to ask him about Cincinnati. I don't know if he feels about it the same way that I do. He's a Midwest guy. He played in Cleveland. So
I don't think he loves it, but there's no way he hates it like you do.
Yeah, we will get to a lot with Dwayne right now. Before that, if you like the podcast, remember to subscribe, to leave us a review. That would be very helpful. And if you like Dwayne Kuiper, do it. It doesn't even matter with me and Cole. Just do it if you like Dwayne. Here is Dwayne Kuiper as we do every Thursday.
Woohoo!
Dish and Sling customers, don't miss a game this season on NBC Sports Bay Area and NBC Sports California. Don't miss your A's, your Giants, your Kings, your Sharks, your Warriors. To keep watching your favorite teams, go to howtowatchnbcsports.com.
Okay, it is a Thursday, so we're talking to Dwayne Kuiper as always. Dwayne, coming off of being on assignment, so thank you for being back on assignment, or I don't even know how you would put it. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
But thanks for coming on the podcast.
You know what? This is, it's so much ruined the 3 days I have off that I have to deal with you guys. But I'm going to suck it up.
You did it.
I was going to hop in. Where did on assignment come from? Was that a Lon Simmons-ism or a Hank Greenwald-ism?
No, I'm going to take credit for that because when Dave started to do a lot of ESPN stuff and he was gone, rather than just say, well, you know, Dave's on ESPN and you know, some people don't like us to say those four letters. So it was easier just to say, Dave's on assignment.
Dave's on assignment.
And then the whole point about it is if you say he's on assignment, that doesn't necessarily mean we want to tell you where he is, or where John is, or where Mike is. He's on assignment. In other words, none of your business. So
I like it.
So that's kind of where it came from.
Next time I go on vacation from work, I'm going to put that as my like outbox message. Sorry, Cole's on assignment.
Later. Yeah, it covers everything. It covers
everything.
Pretty cool.
I get so many tweets from people every time one of you guys misses one game, just making sure that everything's okay. And I'm like, it's a long season. They can be on assignment for a couple Rangers games in May.
Yeah, in all honesty, Dave's schedule is probably around 135 games. John's is probably a little less than that. Mine's more than that. Mike is down to like 110. So there's always going to be somebody that's on assignment. And it usually has nothing to do more than that's just what we've negotiated. And at our age, we need to take some time off.
I like it. Well, thank you for coming back. And I'm going to start with this because I probably would have taken this trip off if we were under normal circumstances, because Cincinnati-Pittsburgh is not one that stands out to me. So I wanted to ask you, where does Cincinnati rank for you in the National League? Because I know where it ranks for me in terms of trips that we take.
I don't mind Cincinnati. I think Pittsburgh is climbed up the ladder as far as cities to go to. And a lot of it has to do with that ballpark. I mean, I don't like necessarily doing games from there because it's so high, but the ballpark is so beautiful. It's so convenient. I mean, you can walk there from your hotel. I mean, you do the same thing in Cincinnati. Look, it's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati is not Chicago. You know, it's not Seattle. It's not New York. But it does have a lot to offer as far as how people enjoy their baseball. And you know, you get used to certain places that you like to go to, and you just stick to those places. It is a bit unusual, though, Alex, that it's two cities where you're playing four games. Usually it's 3-3. It's rare to be 4-4. So you better be on top of your game if you're going to have an eight-game road trip in two cities. But anyway, I don't mind either of those places. I think the one city that is gone down a little bit is only because downtown is kind of deserted is St. Louis. Even though once you get to the ballpark, it's vibrant and people are psyched. They got their red stuff on. But again, you walk to and from the hotel and that's about it. And it hasn't always been like that, but it still is a great baseball town.
It is. You mentioned the eight games. It's also like the rain delay trip for me, I think, when you look at those two cities. So eight games for these guys. I know it's supposed to rain in Cincinnati next week. I think it's supposed to rain in Pittsburgh at times this weekend. What would you set the over-under at on rain delays during an eight-game Reds-Pirates trip?
Do you mean rain delays as far as how many we will have in a four-game series? We will have at least two rain delays in Pittsburgh, and we will have at least two rain delays in Cincinnati. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. You know, it was, I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago where we had, and I'm pretty sure you were there, Alex, we had the lightning delay where we had a delay, never rained, fifth inning came, Giants didn't score, Pirates hit a home run in the fifth, game's over. I was like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, what happened? It never rained a drop. But then we all found out that they had this rule about lightning within 3 or 5 miles from the ballpark, and you could shut everything down. And that's what they did. And you know, I think the Tucker kid hit the home run to center field, and that was it.
First game.
We went home, and we were all ticked off. And you know, we still couldn't figure out what happened. But, it will rain in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. It's inevitable.
Looking ahead to this road trip, you're going to have Sean Estes in the booth with you doing color. What's it like? Are you like, you've been shifting from color guy to color guy? We had Randy Winn. You've had Kruk, obviously. We've had Javi Lopez. Estes is another one. What are you looking forward to most having Estes in the booth with you?
Well, when I got a text today from him, he became my favorite of the guys that you mentioned because he offered to stop at the deli board to pick me up a sandwich before the game tomorrow. And I know that it's a favorite in our house, the deli board.
There we go.
And so I put in my order, and I can't wait to see him tomorrow. And then maybe after tomorrow, after I get my sandwich, he won't be my favorite anymore. But as of right now, I'm looking forward to working with Sean. I thought Randy Winn did a really nice job. You know, obviously after Randy was Mike, you know, so that's, you know, that's like, you know, my, just another, it's, hey, it's Mike.
That's
you know?
Right. I mean,
we're married. And then Sean, and then later on, you know, we'll have Javi back, and I think I'm going to do three games with JT Snow. So it's not that much of a challenge for me. It's more of a challenge for my brother Jeff, who produces, and Jim, who directs, because they kind of have to coach these guys into what their responsibilities are. And once they get the hang of it, and it took Randy three innings, and he got the hang of it. Sean has done many games before with us, so I am looking forward to it. But I am looking forward to a good sandwich tomorrow, too.
Yeah, I know the deli board has a special place in your heart because they're a Cleveland organization in San Francisco, so they've got your bobblehead and jersey up. They're big Dwayne Kuiper fans over there.
Well, I always liked it because my bobblehead was bigger and up higher than LeBron James's, so that was good.
Giants are in first place in the West, kind of getting some recognition around the league in other baseball cities. Does this year feel special to you, seeing these games? Is this like 2012 kind of special?
Well, Cole, I think what's special is they've made people take notice. Mm-hmm. And now, once these people have taken notice, now these people are going to watch to see if this team is for real or not. And you know, it's going to take until June, July, before people are going to believe whether this team has got it or not. And I'm just glad they're off to a great start, because if you get off to kind of a slow start or a weird start, then everybody's going to say, well, yeah, that's kind of what we expected out of this team. But when you look at what Descofani's done, what Alex Wood has done, we figured we knew what Gausman was going to do. You know, even Aaron Sanchez was a delight for a while, and, you know, he still might be. But, you know, all in all, it's just been really fun watching this team with all the moving parts. It's just been fun watching Gabe move these parts around.
It has. I think, you know, I said this last year too, they just got like more entertaining last year, and they were hitting, so that helps. And, you know, this year they're winning, so that helps. Just make the fans have a little bit more fun and make us have a little bit more fun. There's one thing I've started to think about with the second half, and I didn't really expect to travel much this year, and that was just kind of the way I was viewing it. And now you start looking at the schedule, and, you know, you look at September and go like, oh, that San Diego trip now could be huge. Right. Do you know, and fans ask this all the time because they've gotten accustomed to you being at the ballpark, do you know if anything will change for you guys as the season goes on, and especially with the team on Thursday hitting the vaccination threshold where they're going to have 85% of the traveling party vaccinated and kind of loosen things? Does that mean anything for Dwayne Kuiper?
Well, to answer your original question, I had an old friend by the name of Dave Garcia. He said, there's three words you should never be afraid to say. And that's, I don't know. So he said, if you say, I don't know, then you're never going to get in trouble. And in all honesty, I don't know. A lot of it is going to determine whether we change from tier three to tier two. You know, are we allowed on the field? Are we allowed? I mean, in all honesty, we're not even allowed to go down below our level to where the writers are. And I think all of that is going to change. And then the other point is, you can, if you want to go to San Diego, yes, you can do that. But you have to get there on your own, and you can't stay at the team hotel. And so all of these things that are moving parts, maybe it's not worth all of that to do the game at the ballpark, because you how am I going to get in? You know, you can't take the team bus, so it's all going to depend upon how much things change and how much are they going to be the same, meaning how much the same as it was before all of this happened. So it's possible, but I'll go back to what Dave Garcia said. I don't know.
I just want to see you and Mike behind the cage like I've seen for 10 years now. I haven't gotten a chance to do that with Gabe yet.
We did in spring training one of 2020. And that was our only chance of learning two or three of the coaches. And before we had a chance to know any of the coaches, you know, the virus hit and we were sent off to another land. And the players and everybody else are sent off to another land, and we can only wave from the press box. So that's the last time we've actually stood behind the cage. And it's, you know, I've said this 1,000 times, the 3 hours before the game for me is just as much fun as the 3-hour game, because of all the interaction you have before the game, whether it's in the dugout, you know, making fun of whoever, Andy or Ann Killian or anybody, you know, just the interaction that
I've taken some shots.
Yeah, you have, you know, Joan Ryan and You know, my trick is hold the ball and ask somebody, have you ever really been hit with one of these? And then, you know, you drop a shin burger on them, right? And so, you know, that, those are the things that I miss. And hopefully that's going to come back. I don't know if it's going to come back this year or not.
We talked to Hunter Pence on our last episode, and he was a lot of fun to chat with, but he told me something I had never heard before. And that was, before he was a Giant, he considered Oracle Park one of the toughest places to play coming in. Is that something you've heard from players? And, you know, if you remember off the top of your head, what was your most difficult park to play in?
Well, I know that Oracle Park is tough, was tough, not now, was tough for the guys in the bullpen, because for visiting teams, they were so close to Giants fans. I mean, they were literally, you know, the reliever on the far right of the bullpen was probably, what, 6 feet away from the guy in the front row? You know, if the guy in the front row is one of those really loud mouth, foul mouth guys, you're not going to forget that guy. And you know, Hunter Pence is a right fielder. They're fairly close too. So yeah, I get it. I mean, and look, Hunter was an unorthodox player. His practice swings in the on deck circle are going to get people's attention in visitors' ballparks, where they're going to yell at him and say, "What are you doing? You look horrible. There's no way you can hit like that." Right?
I remember you and Mike even kind of making fun of him in the on deck circle when he was a Philly. That's like all I knew him for. Before he got traded to the Giants.
And he even threw, you know, he throws unorthodox. So he's going to hear it. But as far as visiting parks, obviously Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park were the two toughest ones. But the thing about Yankee Stadium is the fans there did their homework before they got on you. In other words, if you got in the on-deck circle, they knew your dad's name, they knew your mom's name, they knew your sister's name. And they knew a lot about you. They knew what high school you went to. They knew what college you went to. And you heard all of it. And you just kind of had to wear it, you know. You just, you don't wear it. Just, you can't go in the stands. You're not allowed.
All in the era before Wikipedia, too. That's impressive.
That's true. I mean, but they figured it out. You know, I don't know how they did it back then. But they figured it out. And they were tough. Smart. I mean, they knew the game. There's no doubt about that.
I think that was when people still bought media guides, so they probably had it all.
That's true. The Bible.
Here's the last thing I have for you. It's been a really interesting few days around the NL West, so I'm going to give you three stories and ask which one catches your eye the most. Number one, the Dodgers kind of went in the tank for a couple weeks, and nationally everybody started asking what's wrong with the Dodgers. Number two, the Padres have had a COVID outbreak. And Fernando Tatis Jr., Will Myers, Eric Hosmer, a few other guys went on the injured list. And then number three, Madison Bumgarner, the last four starts has been unbelievable. 25 innings, 2 earned runs, 10 hits.
Right.
He looks like old Mabum. So, and we're going to see them, I think, next week or the week after.
Right.
So they're coming in. Which one of those three have you been paying attention to?
Well, obviously, I've been paying attention to all of them. I mean, today I spent – today watching parts of the doubleheader between the Padres and the Rockies just to see how the Padres were going to put out a team. And they're still pretty good. The Dodgers, obviously, you're always keeping an eye on the Dodgers. But, you know, the Bellinger thing has really hurt them. But also their bullpen has really hurt them. And all of a sudden, you know, they look like a team that's closer to normal than what we thought. But, you know, you always kind of have that feeling like they're going to gather themselves all together by July 1st and they'll be on a roll and you know, everything's going to be okay. But the one thing that catches my eye more than anything is whatever Madison Bumgarner does is always going to catch my eye. And that last start that he had, the strikeouts, you know, I think he only allowed 4 hits. It warms my heart. It does. I cannot and I will not cheer against him. If he pitches against the Giants, you know, I'll hope he pitches 6 shutout innings. And then once a reliever comes in, that they smoke the next guy and they beat him 5-0. But I will not cheer against Madison Bumgarner. It's not going to happen. And by the way, it was a no-hitter.
We've talked about that. Cole and I have actually said one thing we really hoped, and I'm glad he got going, because I think it's going to be a ton of fun when he faces Buster and faces his team in front of fans. And I didn't want, like, the 2020 version of Bum walking in here and struggling to get through four innings. I want him at his best. Him and Buster right now are both playing like all-stars again. So I wanted to see those guys go head-to-head when they're capable of doing what they want to do.
And I have a really strong feeling that he, Bum, will go after Buster, and he'll try to get him out with a fastball. Because that's Bum. I mean, Bum would like to strike you out with anything, but he would like to really strike you out with a fastball. Just kind of like he did, you know, in the 2014 World Series with Salvador Perez. I'm not going to try to trick you, Salvador. Here it is. Boom, 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 boom. And I think he'll probably try to do that with Buster too.
It's going to be appointment viewing. I cannot wait.
Well, I mean, you know how I feel about all those guys. I mean, I keep an eye on Joe Panik and what he's doing in Toronto and these different guys that have bounced around, you know, Romo in Oakland. And, you know, that's the group. We'll never forget that group. Unfortunately, I got to find out what's going on with Affeld and his Instagram. But that's okay. Sometimes I ignore it.
That's how we all follow Affeld. Hey, Matt Duffy's doing well in Chicago too. So
you know what? And that's another one. That's a really good point. It almost looks like he's rejuvenated. He's playing every day. His at-bats look great.
Yeah.
They really do. And I'm glad you reminded me of that, because I do want to text him and congratulate him on making a really nice, strong comeback. He's a favorite. And I wish in some ways that Farhan would have signed him, you know, take a chance on him, because it'd be great if what he's doing now in Chicago, he was doing here. But I'm just glad that he's doing it somewhere.
We'll see him soon. We'll see Bumgarner, I think, in a couple of weeks. And, Dwayne, we will see you next Thursday. So
that would be the Thursday before the Dodgers, series. Right?
What's that?
That would be the Thursday before the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one. Coming off the road trip and then first look at the Dodgers.
How about May? 8 home games in May. This doesn't seem right.
None of this makes sense. Eight-game road trip, 8 home games in May, not seeing the Dodgers until you face the Rockies 3 times. I don't know what to make.
And I think – I might be right. You'll have to look at it. When they play the Dodgers on that Friday, I think 7 of the next 9 games are with L.A.
Yeah.
So you better be on your toes for those.
We'll get ready for that one. Thanks, Wayne.
Anyway, how about – for these games with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, we're doing the games at Oracle Park. I'm going to bring an umbrella.
Okay. You should.
You're going to use it at least 4 times.
All right, guys.
See you.
Have a good one.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers. Hunt for muddy puddles and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.